stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Rogue cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part two of a three-part series. We'll talk about the Rogue multi-class cards in separate videos. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Autofail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos, or that are just bad for the game, get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your reward. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with our review of the Rogue cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part two. We're going to start off with Cheat the System. It is a free event that costs one experience point. It has an intellect and agility skill icon, the trick and synergy traits. It is fast, and you play during any free triggered ability window. Gain one resource for each different class among cards you control. What do we think about Cheat the System?
I like this card if you can reliably get three resources out of it. Otherwise, don't play this.
I'm a little different on this one. I like this card because I think it still gets pretty good if you have two resources coming out of it. And the reason why is because it's fast. Compare it to Emergency Cash. Like, there's often enough where it's like, you can spend an action to play Emergency Cash, get three resources. Or you can spend a fast action, pay, and get two resources. Pretty decent, you know? Pretty decent, right? It's almost the equivalent if you think about it.
Yeah, it's quite similar to, what's the one? Easy Mark. Sort of very similar. I think Easy Mark gives you two resources.
And a card, yep.
And a card, but it's not fast, and has the potential to get you more resources and cards if you happen to luck into another Easy Mark. This one, slightly different triggering, and then the resources are dependent on how many classes you happen to be playing. I think if you're just playing sort of your standard off-class rogue, you're going to get two out of this, which isn't bad. And then, of course, if you go all in on synergy, you know, potentially five, but I think probably anywhere from maybe two to four is more realistic. And, of course, it is an event that synergizes with Safina and Double Double, so that's another thing you can play around with if there is a synergistic Safina Rousseau deck out there.
I think if you could guarantee two, with the potential to get the three or four based on which assets you draw and that sort of thing, I think you're in good shape with this card.
I think it sort of depends, honestly, because like a lot of rogues, you're either like playing a big money deck where you're trying to like accrue a bunch of resources all at once, so it's like you're probably more leaning towards a card like Hot Streak, whereas there are also rogue decks that kind of, they collect resources but then sort of immediately spend them on things. So maybe a card like this is more appealing for a deck like that, but I find it a little tough because it's not the easiest thing to reliably trigger unless you're taking one of these permanent cards. So there's like kind of that to contest with as well. Like, it does require you to play other things, so it's not quite as reliable. Like, can't really play this turn one as easily as you could with some other cards.
That's true. That's true. So, unless you're playing permanents.
But I mean, if you were, say, to build a geared up Skids deck.
Oh, stole the words right out of my mouth.
Then you've got that's like a perfect this use. is a two free two resources right off the bat, so you're not you can resolve that issue pretty easily, I think.
And that's like a really good use case for this, you know, because as long as you don't go first as Skids, you can use this during someone else's turn before your turn starts. And then you're ready to go.
So how would we rate this card?
I could see it being pretty good for two, you know. I can buy that argument, Manastrophic. So I think it's pretty good. I'll give it a zero. I think it's pretty good.
I actually really like this thing. I'm gonna give it a plus one because fast is good. Fast, don't underestimate that. Gonna give it a plus one. It's only one XP.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna probably settle on a zero simply because there are other options at this slot. Namely, Easy Mark is basically 1 XP as well. So I think it sort of depends on. I think they're different tools for different decks, really. If you're going all in on synergy, then this thing is probably gonna be the one that you choose. If you're not playing a synergy deck, then you may want to look at Easy Mark instead. And then if you're playing a big money rogue deck, then you're probably not interested in chump change. You want Hot Streak to be able to push you over the top and generate a lot of resources quickly, because as we'll see, there are certain cards in this set that require you to have 10, 15, 20 plus resources. And while this thing has the potential to generate a fair number of resources, realistically, you're only going to be getting a couple. If you really want to leverage some of those big money rogue abilities, you really want to be generating those resources as efficiently as possible. And something like this that just nets you two is not really going to cut it, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, I think another card that we have neglected to mention too is Faustian Bargain,
Oh, that's true.
which can give resources to other investigators for 0 experience for
That's true.
the low cost of 2 curse tokens. So it's like when you compare that card to this card, you're getting fast, which is nice, but then you're also kind of having to jump through the hoops of playing extra assets or playing permanent cards, and that's going to require that you build your deck in a certain way, whereas Faustian Bargain, you just play it and it works.
Yeah, but I think we all sort of recognize that Faustian Bargain is above the curve simply because of the curse tokens. And I know you say low cost, Nate, but didn't those curse tokens cost you a game recently?
And we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that.
Next card in the box is Untimely Transaction. It is a free event that costs 1 experience point. It has a wild skill icon and the favor trait. Reveal an item asset for in your hand. Another investigator at your location may play that asset as if it were in their hand. If they do, draw one card and gain resources equal to that asset's printed cost. This sort of turns every card in your hand into an easy mark, essentially, if you're playing a bunch of items like, say, Bob Jenkins is want to do.
This is a really cool card. I mean, flavor-wise, it's a huge win. Like being able to just be like, "Hey, you want this? You know you want this." And be like, "Yeah, I want that." And you put it down on the table, you're like, "Yeah, that's cool." I mean, apart from that, this just allows you to build decks, not only like building your own deck around this card, but then you have to consider you have to build your teammates' deck around this card. My initial thought was this, is it's like this is the best two-handed solo card ever. Because you can, you know, when you play two-handed solo, you can very easily coordinate two decks to work with this card, and that's
That's
really
true.
cool.
That's true. Yeah, this is kind of an untapped like niche, this untapped play style of team building. I've seen maybe a little bit of this with like Carolyn Fern, but other than that, like this is kind of a new frontier for Arkham team building, and I really like it. I like that type of stuff. Like you could do stuff like this where, okay, so the one downside I can see with Untimely Transaction is if your friend does not want the item and doesn't pay for it, you get nothing. Like that's the one downside. So if you're going to include this in your deck, you need to have this like planned out. I think a good way to do it is you can do something like, hey, I am going to build my deck. I'm going to bring this particular item that your deck can't take. And my game plan is I'm going to give this item to you every game. And then all is well.
I think it's interesting
With
that the item that you can basically give to somebody can be of any level. So my mind went to somebody like Leo Anderson, who has a bunch of spare weapons around, and it's just like, hey, who wants this spare holy spear I have? If you buy it from me for 4 resources, I gain 4 resources, which helps solve my guardian resource issues, and I get a card out of it, which helps my guardian card draw issues, and we have now 2 holy spears raining havoc.
And I'm a big fan of the lightning gun here, because even Min can get to 7 while firing a lightning gun.
Plus, yeah. That's just awesome. Like, yeah. Here, take this.
Yeah, I think you do make a good point, Nate, that this is, if you enjoy playing two-handed solo and you're willing to sit down and really build 2 decks that work well together, this could be the card that really... This is a hard card to rate, because there are just so many interactions and so many combinations that you could pull off with something like this that... It would be impossible to sort of sit down and go through them all, because there are just so many. Like, essentially, anybody can play any item with this card. Any investigator can play any item from any class, as long as the rogue who happens to, or the off-class rogue who has this card, has access to that card. And with things like versatile now, sky's the limit on at least the level 0 items. This one definitely gets a blessed token from me. I mean, you're not putting this in your deck just because it might be useful. I think you're really sitting down to, you're either building a two-handed solo decks yourself and putting this in, or you're coordinating with your, you know, the 3 other players at the table to try to maximize value out of this. I think if I was going to an event like Arkham Knights and sort of playing a lot of pickup games throughout the weekend, it's not a card I would necessarily bring, because a lot of decks are really sort of geared to do their thing. And so if you, cards like this can almost be like throwing a wrench in them. It's just like, do you want this card? It's like, well, it kind of doesn't really work with what my deck is intending to do. So how about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit it right on the head there. This is definitely a card you like 100% have to build around. So I'm going to give this a Bless Token, too.
I agree. I think mainly because this card does absolutely nothing if the other player doesn't purchase the card. So you have to make sure that they're going to purchase the card. Bless Token.
The next card in the box is Savant. It is a 1 experience point cost skill that has a wild skill icon, innate and developed traits. Savant gains wild skill icons equal to your lowest skill other than the skill being tested. This is the equivalent of 3 to 4 wild skill icons for many a rogue investigator, especially when it comes to willpower skill tests, where your lowest other skill is usually going to be 3 or 4. Usually 3, so you're getting 4 wild skill icons out of this. That's pretty nice.
And Jenny, it's 4, which is awesome for anything. I think it's the same case with Lola, too, right? She can take up to level 3 cards. Yeah, so, you know, investigators like that love this card. It's, again, also one of the better defenses against willpower treacheries for rogue investigators, which I think alone, like, bumps this card's stock up immensely.
Probably, like, the good example to talk about here is Finn. Because, yeah, this might only be 2 wild skill icons if you're making an agility or an intellect or a combat test, but it's 4 when you're making a willpower test, and that brings Finn up to a whopping 5 by itself for dealing with, say, rotting remains, and that's worth an XP in my opinion. I love this card. I've been playing this a lot, actually, like ever since I saw it, and it's like, it pays off. One thing to also note is that it will include your stat buffs, so if you're playing a deck that happens to do, like, you're playing a generalist that happens to stat buff multiple skills, you can get into a position where this will, you can hit like 5 with this thing.
Yeah, as I've been playing Winifred lately, and this is a very attractive card for her, because it's it's 4 wild skill icons, and she only has 1 willpower, and this immediately bumps her up to actually be in test passing range, which is very, very nice for her. At 1 XP, you can even pick up into the thick of it at the start of a campaign, pick up 2 copies of this, and upgrade into 1 lockpicks. And that's it's a pretty nice position to be in at the start of a campaign,
with an actual chance of passing a willpower treachery and having at least one copy of lockpicks, or even, picking up two lockpicks and one of this, like between this and her signature skill, that's a lot of wild skill icons floating around in your deck. This is actually a reason you might want to play, what's that one, Daredevil, where you
Yeah,
can
true.
start looking through your deck for rogue skills. Like, man, oh
Yeah, because
man.
you know this matches
Yeah,
because it's
you know
wild.
this
Yeah,
matches,
that's
and
true.
it's going to match any skill tests, so it's pretty nice for, I think Daredevil, I mean, I think Daredevil 2 is obviously better than the level 0 version, but yeah, if you're playing around with Daredevil, there are a lot of good rogue skills now. This is another really decent skill in the rogue card pool, so that sort of deck starts to look pretty attractive. How do we rate this one?
I'm debating between a plus one and an Elder Sign. Just the fact alone that it can curb your inability to pass willpower tests alone is really, really good in Rogue. So, and I do like Finn quite a lot. So there's also that bias going in. So I'm gonna land on a plus one, but I do think it's Elder Sign territory. It's almost there, I think.
Well, I'm gonna drag it over Elder Sign. I've been playing this thing. It's great. We've been going through a couple of other skill cards like Defensive Stance, and the thing about them is that they test one or two skills. Well, two skills. They boost two skills, but they don't have the draw that one of the core skill cards has. So this thing, it is never worse than an Unexpected Courage. And an Unexpected Courage didn't draw you cards anyway, so you're not really losing anything by playing this over like the core equivalent. So you're spending an XP to like potentially get for the test you want. Your weak stat, you're getting three or four or even five if you play one of those stat ball decks that boosts all its skills like I do. Yeah, Elder Sign.
Yeah, this is I'm wavering between plus one and Elder Sign as well, simply because I think what pushes this maybe over into Elder Sign territory for me is just because it's wild skill icons and it's going to be useful on every skill test. I know we were I mean we've been very high on all of this new set of skills, Defensive Stance and forget the name of the Seeker one. But those target specific skills, this is just whatever skill test you need it for, you're going to have three to four wild skill icons. And Unexpected Courage gets played in nearly every deck I build. And for one experience point to get sort of a super Unexpected Courage, that's pretty sweet. And unlike a lot of the synergy cards, you're not jumping through hoops to get extra classes or anything like that. Like, as soon as you draw this, it's good. So yeah, I think I'll also give this one an Elder Sign. The next card is the Red Clock. Broken but reliable, it is a two cost asset that costs two experience points. However, it is exceptional, so it will set you back four. It has a wild skill icon, the item and relic traits. As I mentioned, it is exceptional. It uses zero charges, which is kind of unusual for assets that enter play with charges, but there is a good reason for that. It has a forced effect. After your turn begins, either place one charge here or take all charges here as resources. Then, if it has exactly one charge, you get plus three skill value for your next skill test. Two charges, you may move up to two times, and three charges, you may take an additional action this turn. It takes up the accessory slot. Obviously, the relic and item traits synergize with Ursula and Bob, respectively. What do we think about this one?
So you and I were discussing before we started recording possible ways to use this card, and we had thought of Eldritch Sophist or other ways to move charges around. And you can kind of do a little interesting trick with this card where you place your third charge on the card, you get the ability to take an extra action, and then during your turn you remove it, put it back down to two. And then during your following turn, it goes back up to three, and you can repeat that cycle over and over again. That's pretty interesting. But I think apart from that, it's still pretty decent. One turn, you're getting plus three to a skill, which can be pretty useful. whether that's just doing a basic investigate to get, grab a clue, or take an evade check or a fight check or something like that. That's pretty good. The second turn, you're moving a couple times, which honestly is pretty hit or miss depending on the scenario, which is a little unfortunate. So that can be kind of a bummer. But then, you know, once it gets up to three charges, you're getting that extra action. And then the following turn, you're getting three resources. So it kind of, in a way, can generate your resources over time, which is also pretty interesting. But I think it's honestly better used if you can kind of keep it at a certain time and utilize that to your best ability.
Yeah, I'm less excited about this thing because it does multiple things. So it does plus three value to a skill test, it does extra movement, it does an additional action, and then it gives you three resources. Let's just assume basic, no Eldritch Sophist shenanigans, nothing like that. I think at one charge, you're probably better off playing High Roller, to be honest, because it's 2 XP and doesn't take a slot. The movement one, it's not that great of an equivalent, you know, in other rogue cards that are lower XP. Not that great. Not moving twice. I mean, three charges, you've got Theodoluca, of course. And then the four charges, the fourth turn, you've got, like, Lone Wolf for investments. I don't know. It's just, it feels like this is just a lot of, it is a lot of XP for, like, half cards. And those half cards all cost less than four. That being said, there is something to be said about having fewer card slots needed to do more than one of those things. But I think if your deck, if you really just need plus three to skill values, play High Roller. If you just need more actions, play a Leodoluca. I don't think you need to take up four XP in an accessory slot to do that.
Yeah, I think the Seeker Rogues like Ursula and Trish that can play this in combination with Eldritch Sophist and Ariadne's Twine to set the clock at whatever you want is kind of interesting and cool. I think the first ability is sort of generally useful. You can usually, as long as you're sort of paying attention to the flow of play, you can arrange to take your first skill test to be, you know, to get that plus three skill bonus. Again, plus three, you know, depending on what other bonuses you have, I think in standard or easy difficulty, you may not necessarily even need the plus three, but the rest of the, you know, it's useful, but it may, you know, diminishing returns often kick in after you're two over. So really killing it on a skill test at those levels doesn't, that plus three, you're not getting as much value as you may think. The second ability, moving up to two times, that's just so situational that there are going to be turns it's good, and other turns it's just like, well, I didn't need to move once, much less twice, so that's not really helpful. Obviously, gaining an extra action is always good, so I think if you're going to set the clock to anything, I'd be setting it to three just so I get that extra action every turn. But like you said, Matastrophic, if that's all that interests you, you can play Charisma for 3 XP and two copies of Leodoluca level 1 for 5 XP, and you get something that you can probably reliably trigger on turn one, as opposed to the red clock, which is exceptional, so you only have one copy in your deck. So there's that.
I'd also point out that there's a certain gold card that we'll talk about that costs less experience, and don't even get me started. Yep. But yeah, case in point, that card exists, and by virtue of that card existing, this card loses a lot of stock, in my opinion.
That's true, because that card, we'll talk about it later.
I actually sat down and sort of looked at how, like, outside of those Seeker Rogues who can set the clock, whether this would be worthwhile. And I think given that you sort of, it resets itself every four turns, if you're playing in a scenario and the sort of average scenario length is 12 turns, this is going to cycle three times. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it worthwhile outside of those decks that can tinker with the timing? I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm not a big, as a solo player, I'm not a huge fan of combos in this game. I feel like more often than not, you can play more efficient cards and just beat the scenario before your combo will ever go off. And I think the later that you draw this thing, the less value you're going to get out of it because there are just less turns for it to trigger. So if, I mean, if you could get this reliably down on turn one, you're going to get quite a bit of value. Like even if you gained, what would it be? Say you trigger it three times, 12 resources over the course of a game. That's pretty decent.
I think there's a case here for Underworld support with this, because this is a card that's exceptional and you want to get it as soon as possible. So if you run Underworld support and backpack level 2, you might be in a pretty good situation to be able to dig up this thing, because this card does multiple things in an Underworld support deck where your deck is only 25 cards.
So how would we rate this one?
I'm going to give this a bless token, simply purely for the fact that I feel like this card sort of requires that you have access to seeker cards. Like you were saying, okay. Manastrophic, you need like Ellie Horowitz, you need Backpack, you need Ariadne's Twine and Eldritch Sophist, which are all seeker cards. So it's like in combination with like needing these things to kind of reliably make this card do what you want it to do, in addition to it being pretty slow otherwise. Like, you really need to build your whole deck around getting this card out as soon as possible, getting up to whatever amount of charges you want on it, and then going to town from there. If you're using it as intended, you're spending an action to play it, so, like, you're essentially, like, removing that third charge or that third turn just by playing it traditionally. So it's like you're really only getting, like, three actions if we're going by a 12-turn clock, and then that last three resources really doesn't matter, probably, unless you're playing something like Well Connected. And, you know, movement is movement, so it's like really dependent on how the scenario is shaping out to be. So, yeah, you gotta build around it.
Yeah, I'm less keen on this because I think the real leverage of, I think the real test of Red Clock is how well you can leverage the movement. Now, that's if you don't build around it and you just play it and you just let it tick, you let it do its thing. If you can figure out how to leverage the movement, I think it's not bad, because that's the one that's like actually like situational, where it's like it ticks up to two charges. Can I make good use of this movement? You know, and if you can, great. You know, because the movement, the two moves, that's something that's harder to find for 4XP, even for 4XP in like a rogue. But like the other effects, like I mentioned, you have High Roller if you need to boost your skills, you have Leo DeLuca if you need extra actions, and you have Lone Wolf if you need more money. So just do that instead. I'd give it an Elder Thing. If this card, if it let you take all the charges and then it's still ticked up, then I think it'd be much better.
I'm tempted to also give this a Blessed Token, but I think I'm going to put it at 0. I think it's fine, even if you're not doing the whole setting the clock tricks with cards that can move charges around. I feel like you could probably get enough value out of it if you put it in your deck, and I think the key is really drawing it early enough. So obviously cards like Underworld Support help that. All the Seeker Draw helps that. So you do want this early to get enough value out of it. And I think it's probably okay if you are able to pull that off. Might be a little stronger if you were just to be able to set it at three charges and gain an additional action every turn. Combine that with, say, Leo DeLuca, so you're going up to 5 actions a turn. That might be pretty decent. But yeah, it's... Yeah, this is really on the cusp of a card that you really need to build around to get the most value out of it. But I mean, we could give Blessed Tokens to so many cards at this point in the game's life cycle that I feel like I'm going to give this one a 0 just to break the mold a little bit. That brings us to the level 5 version of Red Clock. Again, 2 cost asset that costs 5 experience points. It's still exceptional though, so this one's going to set you back 10. Forced effect: after your turn begins, you may take all charges here as resources. Place one charge here. If it has exactly one charge, you get +4 skill value for your next skill test. 2 charges, you may move up to 3 times. 3 charges, you may take 2 additional actions this turn. and it takes up a an accessory slot. While I was willing to give Red Clock level 2 a 0, I don't like this card that much. Not at 10 XP. No way.
Yeah. So much.
Yeah, it's like 4 XP is kind of the limit, I feel, for the level 2 version felt pretty appropriately powered, but this is not worth it, I feel. Like we were saying in the previous version of this card, like, if you want to play the combo version of it, you need all the Seeker cards. And if you're doing that, you can't play the level 5 version. It's just not an option for you. And there's no Investigator that can take Rogue level 5 cards and Seeker level 2 cards yet. So that's a thing. I just don't really see any other Investigator wanting this.
I got it, Nate. I figured it out. Here's what you do. You let Bob take this. He spends his 10 XP, and he uses Untimely Transaction to give it to the Seeker.
Okay. All right, fair. But at 10 XP, you could buy a lot better items, I think.
Oh, of course. So. Of course. Of course. So I do like this card for the power level, because the effects that are on this version of the Red Clock are not really ones that you can... They're like big enough that you can't just like replicate them with other lower XP cards. Plus 4 value to a skill test. That's a lot. That's 2 high rollers. Moving up to 3 times, that's a lot. Good luck getting, you know, making that work. But if you can make that work and use that movement, you're in great shape. Taking 2 additional actions a turn, that's a lot. But it's 10 XP. Oh my gosh.
I think this is
the tabooed key of ease. Tabooed, key of ease.
I think the only circumstance in which I might be tempted to pick this up would be playing on harder expert for the +4. I feel like if you're playing on easier standard +4, you're not going to get value out of +4. I mean, usually you just need to be +2 above and you're doing fine. +4, you're going to be killing one test a turn that you're probably going to, you had a pretty reasonable chance of passing anyway. Especially if it's something that you want to do, that you're good at, you're already going to be good at it. +4 just seems way over the top unless you're playing on harder expert where the chaos bag is very, you've got -6s and -8s in there. This mitigates that to a certain extent. Moving 3 times, I don't know when you're going to be triggering that. So 2 of the abilities on this card are feel like they're very situational, and so that leaves you with the 3rd ability, which is obviously really good. Gaining 2 additional actions a turn is amazing, but for 10 XP,
one thing that did change about this that I kind of like is you can take all the charges as resource and then you still get the +4 skill value. So if you had a card that said, okay, gain a resource every turn, get +4 on your first skill test every turn, that's pretty good by itself. 10 XP good?
Yeah, that's a good point you make up, because you could in like every other turn essentially like get +4 to a skill test, but like, yeah, that's not worth 10 experience.
Yeah. No, it's not. That's the thing, it's not every other turn, it's every turn. Take a look. Yeah.
Oh, right, because you take the charges, then place a charge.
Then you place the charge. So it's like every turn you can get a resource and +4 every turn. Pretty good. I don't know about 10 XP good, but pretty good.
Yeah.
At least it, like, functions,
Mm. Like, yeah, it does serve that purpose. And I guess, like, that is nice. But, yeah, it's like, if... I was thinking, like, if this was, like, 0, 1, and 2 charges, right? Like, imagine if it was the level 2 version, but instead it was just 0, 1, and 2 charges. Like, how much better that card would be?
Uh-huh.
Because it would go up to 1, you'd move, go up to 2, you get an action, you take all of the resources, and then it goes to 0, and you get a plus whatever. To
oh, yeah. Test. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So how would we rate this one?
You know, while I was nice enough to give the level 2 version a blessed token, I gotta give this thing an elder thing. I'm not gonna give it a tentacle. I'll be nice, but I just don't see myself playing this for 10 experience. It just feels too costly.
Yeah, I'd also agree on Elder Thing. I'm not a big... I didn't really like the Red Clock level 2 because I felt like it's just too much XP and the accessory slot is really nasty. This one, yeah, same thing. It's just so much XP. That being said, I think if you're just absolutely swimming in XP, then it's not bad.
How much is the pocket watch?
Eight?
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. You just.
The pocket watch is so trumps this by. How many actions is the pocket watch getting you?
12.
12 actions? Yeah. At 10 XP, I think this one is just. It's. Maybe if you're playing harder expert and you're able to maybe reliably get the plus four skill value on every, you know, one test a turn, that might be good enough. But man, 10 is a lot. And this one gets an elder sign from me, or not elder sign, elder thing. Now I'm doing it in reverse. getting all my elders mixed up. Yeah, this one's an elder thing. I wouldn't give it a tentacle because I do see certain circumstances where it might be useful. That's going to do it for part two of our look at the rogue cards in the Edge of the Earth expansion. If you agree or disagree with anything we said, make sure you leave a comment down below. We're always happy to hear opposing points of view. Any final thoughts about these cards?
I will say that for anyone watching these videos, I would be curious to see what combos you come up with Untimely Transaction. I'm sure there is something really cool you can do with that card. So,
That Untimely Transaction, this card's going to make stories, and that makes that great. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these cards that we've seen, a couple of these cards, I think it was Teamwork was one. Was I think the first one we saw, and then we had
You Owe Me One?
Yeah, You Owe Me One, the rogue card. And I poo-poo them because I am a solo player, but you know, I still remember playing Teamwork 3 years ago to pass, I think it was a fire axe to a player. So they create memorable moments. I'll give them that. And Untimely Transaction will create many memorable moments in this game. And that's part of the fun, you know, finding those interesting card combinations that are well outside the traditional class boxes that most investigators are forced to work in this game. Most investigators have access to their own class and then maybe a handful of cards from another class, and this just throws the barn door wide open and says, like, if you want somebody to have a holy spear, you can give it to them and see what happens, and that's fun. So as for some of the other cards, you know, the Cheat the System, you know, it competes with Easy Mark to a certain extent, but you know, I think they're for two different decks. The red clocks, those require a little bit of work to get working. I think the effects are good, at least on the level 2 version. But yeah, not a fan of spending 10 XP on the level 5 version.
And don't forget about Savant. I mean, Savant is great.
Yeah, come on.
That's card the card we set, gave the Elder sign to, and I've already forgotten about it. It's good.
Because it works. There's no drama. It just does its thing, and it does it so well.
Yeah, there's definitely my solo bias definitely comes out when you look at cards like a combo card like Red Clock, where it's just like, well, if it'll be really good if I can get all these pieces in place to set it properly, or I can just play Savant and get 3 to 4 wild skill icons, which will help me pass skill tests, which will help me win the game long before Red Clock has done anything for me. So that's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.